What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA Home Loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
An education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I develop because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Ever feel like planning a trip is almost as fun as taking it? Hotel comparisons, restaurant reservations, a perfectly timed itinerary. What if your love of planning travel could actually become a source of income? As a Fora advisor, it can. Fora is a modern travel agency built for people who love to plan travel and help others travel well. With best-in-class training, powerful booking tech, and a vibrant global community of experts sharing real insider knowledge, you can confidently build your own travel business on your terms, from anywhere. Every hotel, cruise, and experience you book earns you commission. And with access to more than 7,000 preferred travel partners from iconic brands to boutique gems, you'll unlock VIP perks like upgrades, resort credits, and late checkout. The kind of elevated travel experiences most travelers never get. Now's the time to turn your passion for travel into a fulfilling business with Fora. Become a Fora advisor today at foratravel.com/advisor. That's foratravel.com/advisor.
I meant it when I said pencils down, too, by the way.
Can't be taking my stuff, dude. Can't talk here in the intro. That's my gig.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
I'm John.
And back again.
Tan the man's back.
Tan the man's back. I've got a file on this computer that you may not want me to share.
That's yeah, here. Freestyling.
don't show that to the world.
Brother John's going to say a quick prayer and we'll get started.
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come together and fellowship with each other and really share in this process of being made new. And Father, help us to understand whatever it is that you want to guide us to understand today, and whatever you want to help us to guide others to understand. And Father, we commit ourselves to you. We commit our hearts, our thoughts, and our words to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Boy, I stumbled through that one.
Sounded good to me.
It was okay. Real good. It was
maybe real I was good. Speaking. Maybe I had. I was finally speaking in the spirit instead of my own words. Yeah.
It didn't sound jumbled up or nothing.
No, so, yeah, okay. It was great. That was the words of God.
Thanks, buddy.
So for everybody listening, this is... No, last week was the Easter episode.
Yeah, this is the week after.
This is the follow-up week. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I about blew that one.
He just butchered that.
But it's cool because, you know, sometimes... Being a little bit, I mean, we have to record ahead. Again, we've talked about before, like we have lives, we have regular lives.
And yeah, full-time jobs.
Full-time jobs and wives and family and all that kind of stuff that we're a week in advance right now. And, you know, but we're trying to be more aware. It was one of our goals was being more aware of the calendar and what was coming up and all that kind of stuff. So the episode that's dropping this or before this one is directly aligned with Good Friday is the day after, and Easter Sunday is following that. And I think we have a great episode there. So if you haven't checked it out, you should go back and check that out.
For sure.
But I think the story really goes so much past that. It's what happens after that that's so impactful. It's so much.
Well, that's the mic drop part of the whole story. That's the, you know, the resurrection is key.
That's the biggest part, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the prequel to that is very important. I mean,
sure.
the walk that he has to do, and you know, he has to go through all the, you know, all the prophecies that stuff. Mm-hmm.
He fulfilled all that prophecy, and then he had to pay the payment, right? Yeah. There was a payment that had to be made, and if we don't accept him, then the payment has to be made by us, right? But those of us who choose to believe in him don't have to pay that payment anymore at the end. There's no payment left.
Yeah, and we were just watching a very interesting video.
I'm going to say something that people may misunderstand, and that's their problem. You don't go to hell because of sin. You go to hell because you rejected Jesus.
Amen.
Because Jesus being present is the one who takes that away from you, and you go to heaven because of him. Religion teaches you to perfect yourself, which is a fool's errand because it will never happen. And if you can perfect yourself, then you have become God.
Yes. Amen.
You're making it plain.
Then you have become God. So with one hand, people are teaching people to depend on God, but on the other hand, they're telling you to save yourself. Yeah. Do you know what it means to need a savior? You remember that song? Who is it? I can be your hero, baby.
He tried.
I can take away the pain.
Classic.
When you need a hero, it means you're powerless.
True.
When you need a hero, it means you have no strength. But Jesus is not just a hero. He's your savior.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's amazing. Before I move on, I don't. It says the original sound prophet, Lovi Elias. I don't know if that's who the background music is. Obviously, we're not trying to use that for our content or whatever, but that's the background music to that specific video. And he makes such a profound statement.
Yeah.
And it's something that I was thinking about this last Sunday at church. We were talking about, you know, the you know, it's Palm Sunday and leading up to the Good Friday story, which is the crucifixion. And my question to not only myself, but to you is, why do we focus so much on the debt we owe rather than the payment that was paid?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think just because in our daily lives, we're doing other things. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't really think about the past all the time. You think about what's ahead of us, what struggles we have going on.
Yeah.
But you don't think about the struggles he had leading up to that.
Right.
Which I think is amazing. Before the crucifixion was, he knew what was going to happen.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He might not know the exact details of that, but he knew something bad was going to happen to me. Yeah. So I'm going to keep living my life, and I'm going to show him the way. I'm going to teach you what you need to know, love, care, be kind. It's not so much Old Testament, it's more New Testament, more loving, caring. This is what's going to happen. But just follow me, take what I tell you, and show it to the world.
Yeah.
Which I think is amazing.
And he said, I am the way and the truth and the life, right? No one comes to the Father but through me.
Yeah.
He said, I am him.
I am him. Yeah, yeah. He said, I am the narrow gate, actually.
If you ain't listening, then I don't know what to tell you. You keep on moving. Yeah.
Well, but, you know, we talked a little bit recently about how we've kind of changed up our Monday night Bible study and how we're trying to take things a little bit in smaller bits and, like, consume it slow, a little slower, basically, and how it actually kind of has a little bit more of a profound impact, because it's like you're just staying focused on this one little section for just a minute. It's not permanent. But every time I read through it, something else jumps out. You know what I mean? Like, the first day I read it, I highlighted verse 3, 7, and 11. The second day I read it, I highlighted verse 12, verse 8, and verse 24. You know what I mean? It's like, for whatever reason, every single day, something different. At the end of the day, I could just highlight the whole thing. You know what I mean? Because that's how important it is.
You're like Picasso, like this guy.
Yeah. Hey, that's me.
He sure does. He changed. Hey, I changed colors yesterday.
Dude, I changed colors like as I'm reading. Like, really? As I'm reading. Like, I have two highlighters out, and I change colors as I'm reading.
Is there a purpose behind it, or is it just because?
Like a mood change? Like a mood ring?
No, just because, you know, if I, like, I typically try to highlight the ones that are more impactful with yellow, and then I'll hit the side notes with pink.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, it kind of sticks out differently to me. It's not so, I mean, if I highlight everything in yellow, I'm not signifying anything. I'm like, oh yeah, these are important verses. But if I highlight it in yellow, I'm like, oh yeah, that one really jumped out to me.
Right.
And if it's highlighted in pink, some of them are highlighted back to back, but one will be yellow, one will be pink.
Right.
And it's like, oh yeah, that was the little follow up for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
One thing that was crazy, though, about this new Bible study thing we got going on is, so last week in Colossians 3, I was going through some things in my personal life, right? So I opened it up, I start reading it, and it's just exactly what I needed to hear at the time. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, what is,
that's
like,
how good
everything
God is.
That I was reading in that point says, like, don't be hateful, don't have rage, don't be angry. Like, I've been all those things like the past month for some reason. I don't know why, but
it must be something in the water, dude. Cause I've been there too.
Like,
well, we talked about it last night. I've been super confrontational.
Yeah.
Like I have been overly, like I've been looking for confrontation, that's not necessarily me. I'm usually the kind of go with the flow.
And yeah,
I've
been exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah.
I'm not this kind of cat usually, but I think maybe we should read Colossians 3. It seems like maybe three people are in the room or kind of like pointing toward the same direction.
And
it seems like that's that chapter in the Bible has something profound to say. So maybe we should read it.
Yeah.
Right. I think it'd be a good idea.
I'm going to let you do that.
You're going to let me do the reading?
Yeah.
That's all right. I don't have a problem with that at all.
I already closed my laptop. I closed it early, too. Like, dude, we're not even 3 minutes in. I'm like,
he said, not today, Satan. No, I'm just kidding. You know, the whole laptop thing's a little bit new for you. You didn't start doing that until we moved out here.
Yeah.
You know, because
official.
Everything changed, you know, well, what I mean, a little bit.
The first couple times it was, I was using it right, but it's really hard when it's just me and you because you're talking to me and then I'm like,
squirrel, you know what I mean? Yeah. Squirrel.
And I'm like, what I'm trying to find is part of the conversation, but I technically usually don't find it fast enough. And then it's gone. I've already forgot where we were going with it.
Yeah. Right. Right. You probably have a very good thought and a very good point, but by the time you.
Yeah. By the time I got to it, I'm like, what was the purpose of that? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's hard to keep those thoughts collected. Yeah,
it's easy with a guest.
It's a little easier.
Yeah, with Brittany, it was really easy because she kept the conversation going, so I could keep that in my mind. Like, what was the purpose? I could do. I'm like,
search it up.
Oh yeah, I got
it. Yeah, and I was like focusing, and it worked out that way. But when it's just me and you, it's really hard. And but today I'm like trying to make sure that I'm staying in the conversation.
Yeah.
Shout out to Brittany too. That was a great podcast you're on.
That was a great podcast. So we've got some different thoughts on ways to proceed with her and Terry. We've got a secret episode that's going to come out eventually. Ooh. That's been holding back for another lady. We had one ladies takeover episode. We got another one recorded that's been kind of hiding in the background, waiting for the right time. Not sure. I don't want to make any promises or say anything specific, but you know, maybe a Mother's Day type situation where that could come out. But or, you know, the other thing about having episodes in the queue is if something happens where we're not able to actually do what we normally do, we have something available.
It happened a couple times last year.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely did. One time. Well, we got fortunate last year. The couple of times like when you went out of country, Tanner came on.
Yeah.
And I got to record a podcast without, you know, it's not the same without you here.
No, definitely not the same.
But you know, we were able to record good content and whatnot. I did another one with Aiden and Dad that was able to fill some space too. But anyway, moving past that, since we've all been kind of feeling this I don't know how to describe it, probably just a lot of negativity and negative actions. Let's go through Colossians chapter 3. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory.
That's a very key point right there.
Yeah. I mean, all of that, the first four verses are like needles to my brain, dude. Yeah. Pow, pow, pow. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. It doesn't say the coming for you. It just says the anger is coming.
This next one's right here. This gets me.
You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us.
All right, so I saw a very interesting quote today.
Okay.
The reason that your body, like your flesh, is so willing to do the things that it does and like pull you in the direction of sexual immorality, lustful things, anger, all greed, that stuff, is because it doesn't come with you to heaven.
Ooh. Who said this?
It's just a quote. You know? It's a TikTok. It was a TikTok thing.
Wow. But that's a great quote. Great thought too.
It doesn't go with you to heaven. So it tries to drag you to all these earthly things.
Yeah.
Your spirit, your faith is what's going to pull you away from
that. Right. You know, and it talks about over and over again about like putting the spirit first and like really becoming that spirit person, not the fleshly person. And right here in verse 10, this is what I quoted yesterday to our group about put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Saying the words put on says to me that you get a choice in the matter.
Yeah,
definitely get a choice.
Free will. That's the free will thing.
But I think a lot of times we're sitting here waiting for God to do it. I'm asking God every single day. I'm no MFing lie. Okay. This is how passionate I am about this. I've been doing this for about a month and a half. Every single morning, I'm praying the fruits of the Spirit over myself, right? God, help me to be joyful. Help me to be patient. Help me to be kind. All those things, asking God to do it for me.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
And maybe that's a decision
you got to make.
Exactly.
That's why you're struggling. Choice. Yeah. That's your choice.
And that's probably why I am struggling so much, because I'm not seeing it play out in my
life.
You're
waiting for Him to strap you up, and it's your job.
He's already equipped you with it.
Yeah. Ready to play, coach.
Well, look, and look, at the same time, go to Ephesians when it talks about the full armor of God. It says put on the full armor. It doesn't say let God arm you.
Yeah.
No, you have to make that choice. You have to make that decision to walk the walk and talk to talk.
Well, it's funny, though, is like you expect that of God, but you don't expect that of anyone else. You don't expect your wife to physically feed you. Mm. You don't expect your boss to physically come do your job for you. I mean, you don't expect...
Be nice sometimes, though.
Yeah, but you don't expect that.
Right.
You know,
you got to do it.
Yeah. Kids playing football, they didn't expect their coach to pad them up for them.
Right.
I think when you pray a prayer like that, He's not going to do it for you, but He might get situations out of your way or put certain people in your life to help you with that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you have to make that call for yourself.
Right. I guess at the end of the day, I know that when I ask for patience, God's going to give me opportunities to be patient.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But I also think that the context is like, Lord, you know I'm weak here, and you know that like this is not a strength for me, so I have to rely on you, right? And it says in I think it's Corinthians, when he talks about the thorn in the flesh, about how he prayed to God about his weakness and asked Him to take it away, and he's like, no, my power works best in weakness, right? And I think in some aspects of this whole thing that is the case, right? It's like, okay, God is strong. He makes me strong through my weakness, and His presence is what, you know what I'm saying? Like it's evidence of that strength. But at the same time, when I'm failing at it, then obviously that's not evidence of the strength being poured into me by Him, right?
Yeah.
And so I guess that's some of the, when we expect, the expectation thing, you and I talked about this recently. I don't think it's wrong to expect God to fulfill His promises.
No.
I don't think it's wrong to expect Him to do it, right? Because obviously He's going to.
That's faith.
But I think it's wrong to be like, well, if you don't do it, you see what I'm saying? That's a different kind of an expectation. That's like, well, if you don't do it, then I'm not going to do it. That's not expectation.
Yeah.
That's an ultimatum. You see where I'm at? I still think that God works through you, and you're right. He puts people in your pathway to help you, but you have to take hold of that, and you have to recognize that, and that's where that renewing of your mind thing comes into play, where so you can recognize. And maybe the prayer should, instead of be, Help me with this. Help me to recognize it.
Exactly.
Help me with the wisdom to recognize the people who are in my path to help me with this weakness in this moment.
It's also about being obedient, though, because
there's
people out there that aren't obedient, but they pray, let me have this, let me have that. Then they get so frustrated when it doesn't happen. But when you are being obedient, living the life you're supposed to live, and things just happen, you're just like, okay, look at this. Look at this. I appreciate you. Just point up to the sky.
Well, that's the that's part of the, you know, when we talk about you may be the only version of the Bible someone ever sees.
Yeah.
That's when you got to really, like, you really got to showcase that, because some people may be going through a hard life and they're just like, man, look at this dude. He's always, I mean, everything's always working out for him, but they see how you are and how you're acting.
Right.
They see your faith and they see what you do and they see that you really genuinely try to be the best person. They never catch you bad mouthing. They never catch you lying, stealing, cheating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so they look at you and they're like, ah, well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's why things aren't happening for me, is because I'm not living the best way that I could. Right. And I'm not giving praise to God and I'm not doing these certain things.
Right. I think that example thing is a very big part of it too, right? So, like, I definitely didn't do a very good job of being that example last week, but, like, you know, the idea of when somebody actually sees you dealing with a pressure situation or difficult, like, because in these situations, I'm not the only one that's frustrated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I happen to be a leader in the specific scenario I'm talking about. And I lashed out, obviously not in front of anybody else. I lashed out to my leader. You know what I'm saying? And I won't say I lashed out to him. I lashed out at him, which is wrong. It's not a behavior that I should be exhibiting as a follower of Christ. I'm supposed to exhibit that patience, right? And that ability to, okay, I understand what's happening right now. Here's my issue. You know what I mean? And in this specific moment, I wasn't able to do that. It was strictly emotion. Yeah. I let that emotion overtake me. And the next thing I know, I'm having to say, I'm sorry. And I don't like having to apologize.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that's a big step, apologizing. When knowing you're wrong and going to say, I'm sorry, it takes a real man to do that.
Yeah. Well, and I get that and I appreciate that, but it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, we talked last week about how God didn't really set the bar that high for us.
Yeah.
And you were like, it's right there.
Yeah, you got to do, like, it's a step, a small step. It's like lifting up your foot just 6-8 inches.
Yeah.
That's all we got to do.
But sometimes that's the hardest 8 inches ever.
Yeah.
Pause
for dramatic.
Sorry about that.
But look, I have a higher expectation of myself. And I think that is part of the
blooper.
That is part of the Christ life and being part of this life of Christ. Like, you have a higher expectation of yourself, but the being hard on yourself is not part of that. You see where I'm at? Like, you see where I was talking about how, like, we focus so much on the debt and not the payment?
Yeah.
So I'm focusing on all the things that I did wrong and not focusing on the fact that Christ already made the payment. It is finished.
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
Yeah. That's why I've been so angry, though, lately, just because from my past and the things that I've done.
Yeah.
I think about it now, and it makes me mad. Then when it's brought up and, like, brought up to me nowadays on the life I am living, I just get angry about it. Like, I get real defensive. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it. I try to not accept it, but I try to come up with excuses about what is happening, like with the things I was doing. I try to make a better light of it than what it was.
But a better version of what it was.
It was terrible. Like, right. I had so much trauma, so much drama, everything going on. And just, like, in the midst of addiction, it just, like, that's not you. That's not who I was. But now I'm not that man anymore. I was a little boy back then, but now I think I've grown up to be a man that I'm kind of proud of at this point. You know what I mean?
Like, so, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. How it came to light for me was the moment I truly knew that I was healed, and, like, it was, like, I'd had my come to Jesus meeting. I'd recovered from everything. was the moment that someone could say something like that to me. And I'm just like, yeah, like, I don't bother me.
That's
like,
what it was.
That's what it was. Yeah. I was that person. Yeah. And it doesn't, it's not, it doesn't mean that you're like, you're proud of it, but once you can come to grips with the fact that that was what it was and you can talk about it with people, that truly means you're over it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you've moved on past that.
That's what I'm trying to get to, though, because I'm trying to get the past behind me, but still honor the past.
Sometimes you have to take it head on. Like, you really got to, you got to, and I'm not telling you what to do.
I don't got patience for that.
Meet it head on and just, yeah, so what? Yeah, that's what, that. But look at what I'm doing now. Yeah. I mean.
Well, and that's where that whole community situation comes in, right? Like, you know. Whatever. Look, I'm not sitting here saying that I operated in the right kind of way. I'm not saying that I reached out in the right time or whatever. At its peak moment, I probably should have called you first. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't, because it was like, it was such a moment. You know what I mean? And like, bro, you're a busy man. You got work to do. You know what I mean? I can't just expect you to drop everything and answer my phone call or whatever.
You go to sleep early too, Jason.
Well, this was at like 10 o'clock. Yeah. Yeah, it was early. I was clearly awake.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just in a moment, and like, it was all the things leading up to it that made it happen, right? Like, I was telling you yesterday, like, all these things just kept stacking up. You know what I mean? But here I am. I'm trying to be that guy. Like, I got this. And then eventually, I don't got this no more. It's too heavy, too big. You know what I mean?
It's the continuous drop of a feather. It's the feather, the continuous feather over and over and over.
Over and over. It's like Chinese water torture. Just
it eventually, I mean, a feather's light.
Yeah.
But a ton is a ton.
Yeah, no matter what you do.
And if they're continuously dropping on you,
yeah,
eventually the weight of it catches up to you.
So, okay, so we've talked about this numerous times amongst ourselves and probably here and amongst our groups and stuff like that. How do you even approach that idea to like, okay, in the moment, it didn't feel like it was something that I needed to reach out for, but
looking back at it
easily, I could go back and go, yeah, I probably should have called my brother or something. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I should have talked to somebody else to talk me down before I went in there and did something foolish, which I did. But how do we address that? Like, what do you do?
Well, first and foremost, you got to understand that, dude, you can't, like, every little feather that drops is not the end of the world. It's not something that's worth the confrontation. Usually it's something so minute that you don't even think about it. But it's the compound piling of all that stuff. And then it probably wasn't something that you thought was a big deal. But everything had been piling up for so long that it's just you had that one breaking moment. And at that time, you're not thinking, oh man, I gotta talk to somebody about this, because you've been bottling it up for so long that it's just,
I had already
reached. That's the last thing on your mind is to reach out to
someone. Yeah,
when that levee breaks and
oh, just it's
like,
broke.
I see red.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I like black out in that moment and I start acting crazy, like yelling and stuff like that. I'm not thinking about, okay, where's Jason? But before that moment, I am thinking, okay, I need to talk to someone. But
yeah.
If something doesn't happen right, and like I said, you go to sleep early, right?
Yeah.
Usually when I have these moments, it's late at night.
Yeah.
Late at night.
Yeah, and dude, I sleep like
exactly. I sleep like I already know it. I already know it. But I didn't call you just because I don't want to put my problems on someone else when he might have some problems going on. John, you might have some problems going on.
Yeah, but you're taking away the biggest part of community.
Exactly.
Yeah. The crazy thing about it is like helping you with your problems makes mine less easier.
Yeah.
And it's not like that. It's not like, oh, well, at least I don't have that going on. It's not like that. It's just more like, now I'm not focused on me.
Yeah.
I'm focused on somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that might be part
of it. We're truly called to be there for people. We are truly called for that. I mean, like, I listen to worship 24/7 all day, every day.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of it today. They're talking about the daily prayer life. They're praying, you know, people are submitting their prayers and they're praying for them. Some of them are very minute, but it's a big deal to them.
Yeah.
You know, there was a person that had to have emergency surgery today at 3 o'clock somewhere in California from a car accident. That's a pretty major one.
Yeah.
And they were talking about it, but they were making it a point to tell everybody like, hey, it doesn't matter what the situation is or how small you feel like it is, your prayer your prayer request is important to you.
Yeah.
So it's important to us, which is a big deal. I mean, it just, that's what we're called to be.
Yeah.
It's not,
that's for sure.
We're not called to do this by ourselves. That's why there's so many of us. That's why he tells you, you know, go and make fishers of men, fellowship, you know, where two or more gathered together in my name, I am with them. I mean, when you really want to, you really want to get the healing and you really want to get all that stuff from what you're, how you're supposed to get it, you do reach out. I mean, it's easy. It's easier said than done. Yeah. Nobody really wants to do it.
Clearly,
I don't want to call you every time something's chaotic going on. And there's certain things I won't call you about, but there's certain things immediately I'm like.
Another story like that, though, when I was in the penitentiary, these volunteers would come and they'd give you out little papers. You have prayer requests. And I'm talking, like, I never wrote on one, but a lot of other people did. And they would take it home with them. They'd leave the town or whatever we're at, and they'd go and pray for those people. Or they'd write it up on the board. Then everyone would pray about it. It was crazy. It was cool.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
it's cool. Awesome.
Like, prayer activates something, right? I mean, it activates something in the atmosphere. It activates God. It activates the Holy Spirit.
If you are giving yourself to that prayer, you get something from it. If you're going through the motions and just you have your head bowed and you're just sitting there and you slip into another thought and you're not really putting any thought into what's happening around you, you're going to get nothing from it.
No, you got to believe in it.
You got to believe before in it. You got to engage. You got to, you know, like when you pray to start the show, I'm also praying, but I'm praying not necessarily praying for what I want to pray for. I'm praying for like words of wisdom, and I'm commenting. I'm really trying to listen to the things that you're saying. I'm really trying to get myself amped up about it. You know what I mean? You have to engage. You have to, like, you know, you can have the best motor in the world, but if you ain't got the transmission and drive, you ain't going nowhere.
You know, I've got this one video. I didn't share this, okay? It's something that Brittany actually shared with me this weekend.
2.6 million views.
It has a ton of views, but it's an interesting thought, and it kind of, for me, what we're talking about kind of leads into that. Check this out.
When you think negatively about yourself, you assume other people also believe that same thing about you.
Ooh.
And therefore, when people do things that reaffirm your own thoughts about yourself, small actions, small things, you will believe that they believe the same thing that you believe about yourself. And therefore, you will then blame them for thinking those thoughts when you're thinking them. So you are creating a reality that is negative about you in your own mind, and then you're looking and finding that version of you in other people, even if they don't believe it, because that's your version of you. Instead of looking and going, they think I'm wonderful, you think, oh, they think I'm ugly and fat, like I think. They think I'm stupid. You are your own worst enemy.
Preach.
Yeah, preach.
And it goes back to the tongue has the power of life and death.
Right.
I mean, you can speak things into existence.
It's exactly what I was going through Sunday as I'm kind of trying to process what happened and what's going on and what, like, where am I right now? What is going on? Why is all this happening to me? Not why, but like, what am I doing? Not necessarily wrong, but where am I kind of misfiring? Right. How am I not, why am I not processing this in a constructive and healthy way all of a sudden? Like, normally I'm pretty well, I wouldn't say in control, but I'm pretty solid under pressure. I'm pretty solid in chaos. I'm pretty capable of handling that and being a positive influence and a positive force. What is going on right now? You know what it is? I won't shut up about it. I keep saying how rough it is and how ugly it is and how impatient, how I'm so tired of it and I just want to shut the lights off and be done. You know what I'm saying? What am I telling myself? What am I telling the world?
Yeah.
Intrusive thoughts.
Yeah.
Shit.
But what happened Sunday, though? Can we talk about it?
Well, Sunday was kind of the end of it anyway. It wasn't anything that actually happened. What happened happened on Friday. and then it's just... kind of,
I was trying to process what happened and why did I do that? Like, I've been working there 15 years, bro, and I've never had a moment like this. What happened? How did I let myself become unprofessional and act like somebody I'm not? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm yelling at people and this is not who I am. Yeah. It's not the leader I am.
On a daily basis.
It's not who I am. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And ultimately, what I found out on Sunday, I didn't get to go to church like normal. I dropped Terry off and I had to go to work because I had to do something for a customer. I had to take care of something that was it was an emergency that they needed. So I went to take care of that. And while I'm out there waiting for this customer to show up, I'm like, first of all, what am I complaining about? Like, I have a pretty decent situation, right? It's work. It's not perfect. There's things to complain about. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, what I recognized was I'm spending all my time complaining about it. And so everything that I'm complaining about is what's coming to life in the whole situation. You know
like,
what I mean?
It's like you're speaking into existence.
I'm continuing. Yeah. By what I'm thinking and what I'm saying. I'm not only thinking it, I'm breathing it. You know what I mean? And that is giving it life. And so I actually, because, you know, my wife and I met there, right? So she knows what that place is and she knows a lot of, you know, like she understands it. But I had to tell her, like, look, you have to defend me, but you can't say the negative things anymore. You can't say it. You have to stop me from saying it. You know what I mean? Like, I need you here, and I need to stop saying the negative things because at the end of the day, it's just a job.
Yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong. It's a career. I've made a life out of it. I do okay. You know what I mean? I mean, bills are paid, all that kind of stuff. Like, what's there to complain about? Yeah. You know, we all want
first world problems.
First world problems. The thing that I lashed out about was in defense of my people, right? Because I'm a leader. I felt like I needed to do that, but I didn't do it in a way that was constructive. Does that make sense? That's what made me so disappointed in myself.
Yeah.
It wasn't that I did it. It wasn't the reason behind it. It's the manner in which I did it that caused me to be so distraught about me. I'm like, what is wrong with me right now? Like, why am I acting like this? You know what I mean? And the people that I care about are the people that are paying for it. You know what I mean?
And that was on Sunday when you're thinking this?
It was Sunday when I'm kind of resolving it.
Processing.
Yeah, Friday was the day that was like D-Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the peak.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, again, like I talked to you on Sunday. It was Sunday. It was Sunday after church. I talked to you like, you know, we all know that my birthday's coming up and we've heard the story about why I'm not real a fan of it and all that kind of stuff. It's like, bro, this is 23 years ago.
Yeah.
And I can't understand why it still affects me.
Well, but at the same time, you can't make light of the situation. It's something that obviously bothers you. But what you got to do is you got to kind of put your head down and understand that it's a, even though you're an adult, dude, and we talked about it, you said that the little boy inside of you still wants it to be a big deal.
Yeah.
And it never has been. So I think what you're doing is you're creating a crutch not to have it.
Mm.
Like subconsciously, not like.
Yeah, it's not intentionally.
Yeah, you're not intentionally just going out and trying to sabotage your birthday. But I think it's come to a point where it's been such a letdown for so long that you're just trying to make another reason to keep it a letdown.
Like a coping mechanism.
Yeah. How sad is that?
So, but like I told you, I mean, we go to more birthday parties and we participate in more birthdays that like we participate in so many that one time it's ours, it should be like, oh yeah, cool. Finally, my turn. You know what I mean?
All right. It usually never turns out that way.
Yeah, no, but you just gotta.
Why does it feel selfish? I don't know. That's how it makes me feel. Like, I feel like I'm being selfish. You know what I mean?
And because you want a celebration?
I think I do, but yeah. I don't know that I don't know how to say that.
Oh. Well, it's too late now. It's already
I don't know. I want the invite.
It's rain Wednesday.
This coming Wednesday.
Yeah.
Actually, this episode will air the day after this. so we're not being super Happy aware of the calendar. But it's just, I think that I had to come to, I actually faced the realization, because I saw, like you were talking about a quote earlier that you saw, I saw one too about, you know, those who persist that they don't really want to make a big deal out of the birthday, is because, especially men, it's because there's a child inside of them that never had that and craves it. You know what I mean? Like, I it wasn't a big deal my whole life from young age. Like, it's not a big deal. You know what I'm saying? It's just another day. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I approach that way, and I kind of approach other people's birthdays that way too, which is unfair.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's not the cultural norm. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's like, okay, there's too many damn people with too many damn birthdays, and it's getting frustrating because we do this all the time.
Right. But it's that way for someone else too.
Yeah, you're right.
And so to, you know, make light of the situation for someone else isn't fair to them either.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I know it's hard, but it's at some point you're going to come to a crossroads, and you're going to choose the right way. Like, you're going to be like, okay, yeah, this is just part of life. I mean, we celebrate dumb things. They have National Hamburger Day, National Hot Dog Day, National Yogurt Day. I mean, they have all these stupid days.
Yogurt.
You know, at the end of the day, what's wrong with celebrating the fact that you are a person in this world?
That you evolved into this being that is actually trying to make a difference in the world by doing the things that you're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a reason to celebrate.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're going to all go pitch in and buy you a yacht or take you to Morocco.
I mean, you're welcome to if you want to.
Or any of these things.
Go fund me.
But there's a certain thing where celebrating is good. And, like, you celebrate in the inheritance of life. I mean, you celebrate baptisms. You celebrate all these key moments. None of this would be going on if it wasn't for your birth.
Right.
It's the same with Jesus.
Yeah.
The resurrection wouldn't be anything if it wasn't for his birth. The crucifixion wouldn't be anything. The dude had to be born. Being born is a big deal.
Right.
And he was born of humankind. Like, he was born a human.
Right. He's born just like you and me. Yeah,
just like you and me. Look, just like us. We are created in his image. I mean, you to think that he didn't have two ears, two eyes, a nose, a mouth, 10 fingers, 10 toes, two legs, two arms, a neck, a chest, a torso. I mean, he was the same. Had hair, had a facial hair. I mean.
Yeah, everything. All equal.
This is all part. You got to go back to the beginning of the story. This is all a huge deal.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's throw a parade. Oh, look at me. But it's okay for everybody to get together and be like, hey, congratulations. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
You know,
I think for a kid that had birthdays growing up, I was known for having some of the best birthday parties in elementary school.
Nice.
Well,
I wasn't invited.
You were probably in college by that time. But anyway, growing out of that, now when I do have a birthday, it's just a select few people. It's not a big old party. It's not a big old celebration. It's a select few people that really, truly care about me and support me. Yeah. And I think that means more than 25 kids running around jumping on bouncers and stuff like that.
Right,
you know what
I mean? Right.
But when you have those people that show up for you, they don't even got to give me nothing, but hey, I'm here for you. You know, like, happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. I'm so uncomfortable receiving gifts.
I can already tell.
I have a hard time with that so bad. Like, Christmas time comes around, all the kids are around, and I get one or two little wrapped gifts, and they're like, open them. And I'm like,
it's weird.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, me and my wife open ours by ourselves.
Separate. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, we do our, like...
We do the kids, then...
We do ours by ourselves, because just how it plays out, me and her are always by ourselves to start Christmas. Christmas morning, we're always by ourselves. We do our thing, and then...
Yeah.
Later on, when the kids and everything start getting there, because, dude, it's like, okay, this is... A... You know, my wife goes all out for me for Christmas. Oh, so man. I don't want my kids to see all that. Like, open your gifts. I got a whole mountain of crap over here. You know what I mean?
Right. I would tell you that, like, I'm bad. We don't go do the whole all out thing for Christmas and stuff. Like,
dude, my wife gets me like this year I was opening stuff, you know, of course. Most of the stuff she got me, I couldn't really use because I was still crippled up. You know, I was pretty fresh out of surgery, but
yeah,
everything she got me, I'm just like, Yahtzee. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got some 50, baby. Yeah. I got a 50 again, baby. Oh, man. You know, let me tell you how, it works in our relationship, but it wouldn't work in most. And it's not that I'm anti these things, but I don't feel like I don't feel the need to have to every single holiday get a gift for my wife and all that kind of stuff, because I love my wife every single day. I don't need Valentine's Day to give her a reminder that I love her, right?
We don't celebrate Valentine's
Day. Yeah, I don't do that.
We go eat. That's it.
Yeah. Well, our anniversary is the 27th of February. It was right after that, right? Yeah. And so, like, and then she and I love March Madness. We've talked about this before. Like, in this last time we went to Vegas, which was not the right plan for us, just so everybody's aware. That was not a good idea for us. But, I mean, it was cool, and we had a good time. Don't get me wrong. But it's not, like, in the vein of what we wanted. You see where I'm at. But it was like, okay, Valentine's Day, then our anniversary, and then we go to Vegas for March Madness. Where do you want me to squeeze in these gifts and parties?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So how about we just celebrate it all at once? And that's what we do and what we did. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's fortunate for me, but I'm like, we don't really play the gift game. I don't want you to give me a gift.
Yeah.
You know, acknowledge my birthday. That's great. I'm okay with that. Thank you. I love you. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember, ooh, it's sad. I probably don't want to say it, but it was my birthday. I was probably 9 or 10. I walked home from school every day. Well, I knew it was my birthday, obviously.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, it's my birthday. Like, mom's going to do something. I came home.
Just another day.
Yeah. Forgot it. Acted like she forgot it was my birthday. Whether she acted that way or it was legitimate or not, I don't know. And it's like those kinds of things that like set the tone for all of it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then, like, I don't blame her for anything. I'm just saying, like, it was like, oh, it's your birthday? Yep. Happy birthday.
Okay, cool.
You know what I'm saying?
You want hot dogs or sandwiches?
You know what I'm saying? Like, man,
got the hamburger helper in there?
I was still at the age where I thought that maybe something, like there was some sort of a surprise, a gift or a cake or something to like commemorate the day. And there was zero.
That's a tough age too, though, because that's when things like hit you harder and you start to realize.
When you're a kid is when you get groomed into the man you're going to be.
Right. It sucks. And I'm not like, but again, I'm not like trying to dwell on those things. Like, it's just a memory that I have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm 10 years older than my sister. Right. So at that time, my birthday is being made unimportant and hers is being made to be the most important. Do you see where I'm at? Like, it's like,
were you the oldest?
No, I'm the middle. My brother is 7 years older than
10 years older than his sister.
Yep. And my older brother is 17 years older than our younger sister.
Yeah.
So, like, we're spread pretty far out. But
so you basically grew up like only children.
Essentially. Kind of.
Because the most critical parts of your life are your youth.
Yeah.
I was. And once you're of age where, you know, we all become pretty self-sufficient once we get 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
You know? Parents don't really have to. I walked home from school and made my own dinner.
That's how it was. I was out of my parents' house when I was six, 15/16. My little sister was six. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, she pretty much grew up without me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those first 5 years I was there and then I wasn't. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, there's that kind of weird kind of thing going on. But
yeah. Anyway. So you're talking about this self-centered thing. It got brought up simply by talking about how celebrating certain events are important.
Yeah.
And I think to kind of pull it out of it, it's just a polite reminder that what is going on in our lives and everything is something that is, it's all important.
Right.
I mean, everything's important. Everything that you go through, everything that you've been through, everything that you're still to go through is something that's going to mold you into the person that you're supposed to be.
Right.
You can't take anything away from the significance of your birth. Right. Like I said earlier, you know, Jesus had to be born for the crucifixion to happen, for the resurrection to happen.
Yeah.
For us to be saved as humans.
There's a process in there.
There's a process. Right? So to kind of get out of that situation, you just kind of have to step back and think, like, in everything that's going on in life, just remember 2025 years ago, a man was born that was going to save us.
Yeah.
From ourselves.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's our life raft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think, you know, the thing was, is the reason it came up was like, you know, that event that happened around my birthday. It's actually the day after that it took place when we lost the baby, you know, in that tragic way. Like, it's hard for me to understand why I'm still trying to not, like, why is it still affecting me in such a way that I don't even recognize it's affecting me until I've already lashed out and done stuff that's outside of my character.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't even know that it's even bothering me until it's happened. And then I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot. Is that me? Is it something that I'm not doing, or some way that I haven't processed it that's causing that to happen? Or is it just the fact that it's such a sucky thing and like it's just tough and it's going to be that way?
I think it's more, like I said, you're going to have to come to a crossroad. Yeah. Where it's okay, you know, we talk about carrying our past around.
Yeah.
And digging up our skeletons to play with them because it's a comfort for us.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to come to a crossroad where it's like, okay, I'm going to leave that one buried. Like, enough's enough. You know, you're talking about a quarter of a century almost.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You're talking about more than half of your life that you've been harping on this.
But it's still affecting you though, but it's more that subconscious that comes out in those situations around that time.
Yeah.
That I don't know if you've dealt with it before or talked to it. Like, you're talking about it now, which is great. You know what I'm saying? You're getting it off your chest, but one of these times you're going to have to just really sit down with someone, maybe not on recording, but see why it really affects you like that. But other than that, like you said, you got to just bury it. But if not, you can't just bury something like that, because when situations do occur, you will just lash out even harder.
Right.
I'm not saying bury it. What I'm saying is you're going to have to leave it.
It's got to be done at some point.
You're going to eventually just going to have to be like, okay, I'm walking away from that situation.
Okay, so here's my thing, and I'm gonna leave that right here, right now. Okay, so outside of that situation, once that happened, right, it's terrible. It happened on April 24th, 2002, I think, right? May 12th, 2003, my youngest son was born, right, roughly a year later. And the truth is that's who I was meant to be a father to.
Yeah.
That's who I've been raising. Yeah. That's who I raised.
It's a saying that everybody says, things happen for a reason.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, there was probably
Romans 8:28, baby.
It's probably one of those things where, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that God would ever take a child's life because you're not ready.
Sure.
But there's a reason.
Yeah. Oh God, and that's probably hard too. It's hard. One of the hardest things to go, it probably wasn't the right time or the right child. You know what I mean? Yeah, like,
but there's probably, you never know. I mean, there probably would have been some other underlying issues that child wouldn't have had a healthy life, you never know. I mean, like, God works in mysterious ways. I mean, things. Yeah. And I'm not saying that he's a baby killer. That's not what I'm saying. It's, you know, and if you pay attention to the Bible, children are like his prize. Like, we are supposed to have kids and dedicate them to Christ. Like, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it's just one of those things that you don't know because it ended so abruptly, you don't know what the purpose was.
Yeah.
Like you said, God does everything for a reason, right? And the timing's always like perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A year ago, we got pregnant. I was kind of going off the rails a little bit, drinking too much, doing my thing, and it was not good. Then we find out we're pregnant. My whole life switches.
Yeah.
Lennox turns 2 months this week. Two months old. Oh, baby, yeah. Lenny. She's an angel. She's an angel. She's just what we needed, too. Just slowed our lives down.
Yeah.
Made us get everything in check. And it just, like, I looked at her this morning. It's 3:45 a.m. I got to wake up at 4:40. I'm not mad at all. I'm just looking at her smiling. Yeah. Feeding her a bottle. Please get down 3 ounces, girl, because I'm going to sleep for 20 more minutes. It didn't happen, though. It didn't happen. But guess what? I'm fine. I'm good with that because everything's supposed to happen how it's supposed to happen. And she's trying to get off topic a little bit, but she's blessed my life so much. And just like it was so unexpected, but expected at the same time.
Yeah.
That just like, man.
Keep hold of that joy and something that was talked about recently was like we get used to things.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So like we get used to
get complacent.
Yeah. I get used to having one to me, like my wife to for me is like she's my rock, bro. She's my everything. I do everything for her and I don't think that I deserve her. I think she deserves far better than me, right? Like and that's just me probably downplaying myself. Don't get me wrong, but man, just there's times when I look and I go, I am taking that shit for granted.
Yeah.
And I need to stop it right now because, and it's the same thing with this right here. Like this, I'm sure there are many times when I'm like, I'm just taking it for granted and I'm getting complacent and it's just trying to go through the motions. And what we were talking of, the reason that topic came up was about the crucifixion and about the price that was paid and the penalty that was paid for our debt, right? Was we take it for granted. You know, we just
when we sit and we talk about how we're not worth anything, like, oh man, I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm not this. I'm not that. You're freaking taking away 1,000% of the importance of what how God thought we were so important.
Exactly.
He loved us so much that he gave his one and only son, so that we may have eternal life.
To pay the penalty
for our sins. I mean,
yeah. And I mean, he paid every cent.
To say like, oh man, I'm not good enough. Oh, I'm not worth it. Whatever. You're taking away the significance.
Look at the opportunity he gave y'all to. Y'all started out on a side by side elementary school desk, right? with a screen in front of y'all's face.
I mean, pretty much
turning, talking to each other like this.
Yeah, to a studio. Yo, I'm in a studio right now, and it looks great. It's awesome, y'all. And just know, I'm proud of y'all. I hope y'all are proud of yourselves though, because y'all have really done something. Y'all have really made something into this.
I wouldn't say that I'm proud. I'm proud of the position that God's put us in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But as far as being proud of myself, I feel like it would be ignorant for me to be so bold as to say like, oh, I'm so proud of us. Like,
yeah,
I mean, I am. Part of me is, you know,
sure.
Like, I'm super happy about it. I'm stoked about it all the time. But more importantly, I'm just curious to see what's to come. Like how is he going to use us in this manner? Like what's he going to put in front of us next? I mean,
yeah. Well, and you know, the thing has evolved over and over and over again. You know what I mean?
It could evolve again.
Yeah.
We've hit 3,000 subscribers on YouTube.
I mean, seriously, yeah. And like, you know, we're changing kind of some of the content, you know, trying to go away from no video and doing video content like on clips and all that kind of stuff. You know, we haven't talked about it yet, but we said we were going to visit the idea once a quarter about going live. We haven't done it, and we haven't talked about it recently, but I think it's a conversation.
that'd be a good time. That'd be a good time.
We need somebody to be the administrator of that live, so we'd probably have to have we'd have to have an extra person here to help us with that. But
they're going to have to keep track of the comments and the stuff that's happening.
Yeah. I want somebody who's going to be like, blocked. Oh, you're through. You're through. Blocked. But but
see, that's the thing is I
don't want to block anybody.
Yeah, you can't really block no one because
I don't care what people have to say. Say what you want.
It's not that they're going to be saying something, but those people are the ones that need it most. You know what I'm saying? So one of y'all things is going to resonate with that person and just like, okay, these aren't just no Bible thumping, like, you know what I mean?
It's not the same. Like, it's not the same.
We're just, what What's the hashtag? Say it.
We're presenting a perfect man in a not-so-perfect way.
Exactly. We're just living life, y'all. We're living the best life with our brothers and sisters. And y'all just look at this right now. I don't know if y'all ever be able to see this, but look at this. Look at this studio right here. Yeah. We got Little Caesars over there. Shout out Little Caesars, sponsor.
We love Little Caesars, too, by the way. We love Little
Caesars, cheese pizza. You know what I'm saying? But no, we're just living, y'all are living y'all's best life right now. And for me, seeing that as being one of y'all's followers, y'all are my role models.
Yeah.
It makes me want to live a better life.
Yeah.
And I'm not so perfect in many ways, but seeing y'all do this, listening to y'all do this every day, every week, it's awesome, and I love y'all. And
I love you too, man. It's
making us on a straight up better family man, better person.
Well, I appreciate that.
So
you just made me feel real uncomfortable with the
compliment. I know. Hey, but, y'all can already see him, but he read, y'all. He read on my camera.
I would say that, you know, it's an honor. And you know, I need to adjust that mindset and remember that it's an honor to get to do what we do. You know, nobody's paying us to do it, but we do it every single week.
Yeah.
Today is episode 69. You know what I mean? Like that's 69 consecutive weeks that we have put in work, and we've got on here, and we've recorded a conversation, and we put it out for people to hear. And you know, honestly, bro, it trips me out because like we're creeping up on that 100 mark. You know what I mean? Like it seems far away, but it's really not. It's not that far.
It's not at
all. Any worst sin that's ever been committed.
Oh, Romans 8:28, y'all.
Was the murder of the Son of God.
I didn't mean to hit that.
The worst thing that ever happened on this planet.
It happened for a reason.
Was the death of the Son of God. And if God can make the worst thing the best thing, he can make your disappointment, even your sin, even your foolishness, work together for good. God has granted you a unique road to heaven. There are turns in your road, mountaintops where you have a wonderful view. There's dark, dark valleys where it's cold and awful. And there's a unique journey just for you. It's all decided by the same love which first loved you in the first place. Don't grumble about the road he's leading you down, because it's exactly the road designed by him to bring you safely to heaven.
I did not mean to make that video play, but it probably was the right play, honestly. I love you guys. Thank you, Tanner, for jumping in again. You know, as always.
What is this, four or five that you've been on?
I think it's three.
Amongst group? You have two with the group.
Yeah. Probably four or five, yeah. Somewhere around there. Yeah. I hope to be back sooner than what I am. What it took about 2 months, y'all? 3 months?
It's been a while.
I was just thinking this weekend, I was like, man, I miss them guys.
We miss you too.
But it's just like family life and everything like that. Everyone's got something going on.
Life happens.
I know. But it's like it's not a bad thing. It's like it's a good thing. I'm content. Yeah. I'm doing stuff with my family. Never thought I'd be in this position right now, but I am, and I'm just living. It's so gratifying just to wake up and just like making breakfast for the family. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what I'm on right now. I'm cooking dinner every night. I get home from work, just can't wait. Like, what do you want for dinner? I can't wait to cook and just it's so good. Like, I can't wait for that, y'all.
All right. Whenever my dad puts the car in reverse, he always says, "Ah, this takes me back."
Oh gosh.
I don't know. I think this one makes sense to me. Epictetus. We've talked about him before.
Yeah.
Happiness and freedom begin with a clear understanding of one principle. Some things are within your control and some things are not.
There you go.
Yeah. Feels like that's a good way to land this one today.
Yeah.
I think that was a good,
just a little piece of wisdom.
Yeah. Epictetus. I don't remember how it is.
As always, thank you guys for listening to us. Thank you for watching us. Thank you, Tanner, for coming back.
Man, I appreciate y'all having me.
Thank you, brother, for being here.
Every day, all day.
And for bumper sticker wisdom, we're out.